quack, 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 quack,
welcome to D5, the Mighty Ducks, the podcast where we are now discussing the 1996 Disney hockey sequel, D3, the Mighty Ducks, 5 minutes at a time. Welcome to the first show of season three. As we start a very jam-packed season three, I am actually opening up with two guests this week. First, our first all-star guest of the season, Brian Ripper from the All the Mouth to Mouth Disney podcast. Welcome to the show, Brian.
Well, I made the all-star guest list. Well, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, our all-stars are the people that have been on all three seasons.
Oh, right. You know, and I was just thinking about this today, Blake. I have to say, you know, whenever I came on and did, you know, the first Mighty Ducks with you, you know, you kind of approached me about doing this, and I said, yeah, that's cool. Like, you know, we'll talk about I think we did the first 5 minutes, if I'm not mistaken, of that film. And I had no idea. I really didn't. I had no idea that I would be back here to talk about, D2 and D3 now. Like, I really had no idea. And now I'm like, wow. Like, I don't know. I was just thinking about this today. So I'm glad to be back. Thank you so much, man, for having me back. This is always a lot of fun when we get a chance to talk.
No problem. Yeah, it is fun that we are now in season three. We're doing the third movie. It's crazy that we got to the third movie. It's crazy. It's a series like this. It's really cool. Well, let's bring on someone that me and Brian know really well from All About the Mouse, our friend and a first-time guest on this show, Bryce Yelperton. Bryce, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks, Blake and Brian. Good to be here. Yeah, we are frequent contributors on All About the Mouse. I think we tend to do a yearly prediction show about Disney, and Blake, you had me pegged to be on here last season for D2, yeah. And of course my life was busy, so I made sure I made a point that I was going to be on this season. So happy to be here and talk about one of my favorite movie franchises growing up. I mean, I just loved the Mighty Ducks, really just have watched them so many times. Happy to talk about one that's kind of forgotten, you know, not many people, you know, they like D2 because it continued on with the Mighty Ducks, but how many people have sat down and watched D3? They kind of gets lost in the shuffle in all of the trilogy. So looking forward to it.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of people said that to me when I was getting up. Ironically, I have more people coming in on this season than the last two seasons, which is weird for a movie that a lot of people haven't seen. It's really weird how that's worked this year. But it's funny. Mm-hmm. But before we get into the movie, before I get all my questions, I got to get two quick notes because this is the first episode of the season. First of all, sometime during the run of this show, the Mighty Ducks series will be airing on Disney Plus. I just want to note, Nate, now, we are not covering that show on this show. I'm not covering that. I'm not covering the animated series. We're not covering that on the show.
You're not going to do 5 minutes at a time of every episode of the animated series.
Not doing that. We're not the Karate Kid Minute covering Cobra Kai. We're not doing that on this show. It's not happening. But also, the other note I want to make. Back in December, I was hosted the 2020 MX Awards. And at that award show, the show was nominated for a bunch of awards. And we won Best Weekly Show. So I want to thank everybody who voted for us. And that was really cool that night and that day we did that. So, yeah, we were an award-winning show. over here.
Congratulations. Wow. That's
congratulations. That's, yeah.
I'm happy to have contributed.
Yeah. It's not like it wasn't a really tough category. Like we beat like the Godfather Minute and things like that on like there. It was a really nice. Crazy list of people that we beat through the category. So really cool. Awesome. I'll even put the link up for people who didn't see the award show, the really cool award show that my buddy Luke Allen, who will be on the show later in the season. He edited the entire video. It's really, really cool. So I'll throw that up for people who haven't seen that yet. All right, let's get into D3. Bryce, you said you are a fan of this series, so why don't you tell us your thoughts on this series? It's your first time you're here, so your history with the Duck trilogy and this movie in particular.
Sure. So Mighty Ducks saw it in the theaters, and I guess I was about, I don't know, 6 or 7 when it came out. Saw it in the theaters, and it's actually the Mighty Ducks. The first film was actually the first movie my sister saw in the theaters.
Wow!
As a child, so it was the first movie that she actually sat through. So kind of interesting little nugget there, and I love the story. I live in Mississippi, so I don't have any ice skating experience whatsoever. We had an ice rink for a little while. It didn't make it. We don't really have a big history of hockey and skating and actually being on the ice. So when you're watching the first movie and he's talking about, you know, it's safe to go on the ice in the car, he knows when it's safe. Like none of that made sense to me. I didn't relate to any of that, but then you get to D2 and you get to really see, some of the characters. You get some more elaborate character, not elaborate, but some more like caricature type characters come in to have little gimmicks, unlike just the first film. Once you get to D3, it's like the people that make it all the way to the third movie are more than just, you know, the regular watcher. They're fans of the films because they harken back to the first two films a lot in the third movie. Mm-hmm. And they try to cover some different themes with it that are going to be interesting for you guys to discuss once you get to those. But they really kind of take it to a different level. It's not just about playing hockey and not just about beating one adversary. It's kind of the whole, you know, psyche of growing up and moving on past hockey, or using hockey to kind of relate it to your everyday troubles and the big changes that happen. So, you know, when I saw the third movie, you know, it was just like coming back to a good group of friends that I remember being with. And that's what I remember most about the third movie is that, oh, I get to hang out with these people again, you know? And I just wish Emilio Estevez had played a much larger role than he did, but I'm sure we'll get to that later.
Yeah. It's pretty funny, actually. Well, I have to go to the credits. It's actually really funny where his name lines up in the credits. We'll get there in a minute. Mm-hmm. Brian, do you have history with D3? I know the last two movies, it was interesting, but with D3, do you have any history before asking you to be on this?
So you know, this is really interesting. And I'm gonna kind of, I don't know, I'm going to out myself here a little bit because I have no problem doing that. So it's interesting that I'm back talking about this because I will tell you that D3 is actually a film that like I'd never seen D3. Wow, actually. Okay. I was one of the people that, you know, had seen Mighty Ducks. Like everybody's seen Mighty Ducks. And then of course, like the sequel comes out, you know, Mighty Ducks was big. So you got to go see the sequel. But I think by the time D3 came out, I was kind of at a point in my life that I was like, yeah, I don't know. I think the sequel, so, you know, this series has kind of like jumped the shark, if you will. You know, so I was kind of at that point in my life. So I had to do a little bit of research for this. I'll be honest with you. But I do remember, obviously, I mean, you know, this film came out in 96. You know, I was born in 80, but I tell everyone, like, I'm a child of the 90s. Like, I love the 90s, whether it's music or just pop culture, movies, you know, things like that. So obviously this is right in my wheelhouse, really. And, you know, one of the things that I remember is, you know, and I think, you know, Bryce, you were talking about like the people that made it to this film and kind of like, you know, having mm-hmm. this group of, you get to spend time with these friends and stuff and these people come back. Mm-hmm. This is, I think, this is a really big series for Joshua Jackson, you know, which, you know, he's really yep. like at this point, you know, he's in like every Tiger Beat magazine, you know, this whole like, you know, teen right. idol. And then in just a couple of years after this movie comes out, he'd go on to play a really big role in Dawson's Creek. So, I mean, like it's a really big series for him. It really brought him into his career, really. I don't really know what he's doing now, but mm-hmm. you know, anyway, so but this is but you know, the Mighty Ducks, I think my kind of experience and my background with the Mighty Ducks, I feel like it's probably similar to a lot of people where, again, like they saw everyone saw the first one. You know, most people went back and saw the sequel, but, you know, kind of once you get past D2, you know, I think that's where, you know, the box office numbers kind of started to slip a little bit. And maybe some of that might have to do, you know, with the fact that Emilio Estevez is, you know, playing a lesser and lesser role as, you know, as this goes on. But, you know, this is, it doesn't matter. Though, I mean, like the film franchise and the series, it really, I feel like it sits like what you said, Bryce. I'm in Florida, so we don't have ice here, you know. I think we even talked about that. Blakey, like on the first one, I was like, I'm not a hockey fan. I don't watch any hockey. I don't know the rules to hockey. I've been to one hockey game in my life. It was like a minor league like hockey game here in Jacksonville, Florida. You know, so but. It didn't matter because I still really love the film. You know, the film was, you know, it was a really, you know, really well-made film. And it really, you know, it's your typical against all odds, you know, you're kind of taking this, you know, ragtag bunch of misfits who, you know, have no shot, no shot whatsoever. And kind of, you know, just relating to them on a very, just very real level, just, you know, not complicated or anything, just relating to them on a very real level and making them champions and winners. And that's where we kind of start off with D3, I think, is, you know, we're out of that area where the kids are not winners, where they're losers, where they can't do anything right. Like that's long gone. Like it's almost kind of like this has shifted into a completely different, I mean, it shifted to a completely different plot, a completely different storyline right. from the original Mighty Ducks. I mean, we come into this with, you know, they're champions. Right. You know, they've just come from the Junior Goodwill Games, you know, winning that championship. And so I think that's a really interesting way to start off this third movie.
Well, I'm about to say this movie, I was so hyped for when it actually came out. Cause I had, between the second movie and this movie is when I became a hockey fan. It's actually when I became a diehard hockey fan. I heard Devils fan and everything else at this time, because going back in the history, the last movie came in 94. That's when I became a hockey fan. In 95, when the Devils won their first cup. So, like, it was right in the middle of all this. And this is when I became a diehard fan. Also, at this time, the Mighty Ducks of Anaheim are now a franchise.
Oh, yeah.
At this time. We're actually heading into, like, the – actually, movie came out October 4, 1996. I wanted to look it up to see if that was opening week of the NHL season. It wouldn't have surprised me if Disney tied it all together with this movie and opening week. It wouldn't shock me at all if Disney did that. So I remember, this is gonna make somebody sound such a geek when I say this, tell this story. I've never told this story on there. I had a notebook in school. I had a notebook where I was counting down the days till the release of this movie. I was that nerd. Like, I did that.
I love it. I love it.
And my dad knew when this movie came out, we're going to go see it. My dad took me to see this movie. My mom's not. My dad did. Like he knew I was obsessed with this franchise. And I had to see this movie. So I loved this whole thing going in. So
that's awesome. Hey, Blake, I just have to say one thing, because I know if it comes up again, it's gonna tempt me, and I just got to get it out of my system now, because okay. every time I hear you say that you're a fan, you know, of hockey and a fan of, you know, being from New Jersey and New Jersey Devils, like I'm a Seinfeld fan, and I just okay. in my head I always hear like, we're the devils. I love it. I love it. I don't know. That's the only thing I know about the New Jersey Devils is from Seinfeld, but I love it.
You know what? The Devils own that. They own it now. They play that in every game.
Do they really?
Every game now. Every game I mention, nice. And it's playing. You hear it in the background in every game.
I love it. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. I love it.
They actually made a Funko, a putty. Not a Funko, a bobblehead. A bobblehead.
No
a
putty, way.
And they gave it away at a Devil Seinfeld night.
That's great. I love it.
So, yeah, trust me. I'm well aware of it. So, let's get into this. We open up with the, as always, the old school Walt Disney logo. So I had to look up other movies that came out in 1996. And oddly enough, the list was not as long as we have now, where it's like 87 movies come out in a year. So the list was not that long. The list, it is Muppet Treasure Island.
Mm-hmm.
Homeward Bound 2, Lost in San Francisco.
Excellent film.
That's a great movie. James and the Giant Peach.
Oh, yeah.
I forgot about that one. The Hunchback of Notre Dame, the animated film.
Yeah.
That came out that summer. First Kid, which I don't remember.
Yeah. First Kid. Yeah.
Vaguely remember it. Yeah.
That's one of those. Commercials. Isn't that one of those where it's the son and and people get confused because it's either Sinbad or.
I think that's Shazam.
But.
Shazam or something like that.
but this is the movie that he actually was in.
Oh, okay. I gotcha.
I think
okay.
He was actually in First Kid. I think that's right. Anyway.
And then this movie came out. And then the other movie that came out was the first live-action 101 Dalmatians.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That one actually did pretty well.
It came out for Thanksgiving. Yeah. So, there you go.
This is a rough year for Disney, though.
Yeah.
It's a weird year. When you look at that list, it's a weird year.
It's true.
So we open up our movie, and I love the fact that we do flashbacks about the way this is the entire credits, the center of it, yeah, for where we are. But I do find it funny that Emilio Estevez's name is first. Like, yeah. He's barely in this movie, but he's the first name you get.
He's the biggest name. Yeah, I mean, it is kind of funny to like, haha, kind of funny to laugh about it because he isn't in, you know, much of a role in the movie, but he is still the biggest name as far as Hollywood goes that is attached to this film. And especially to the franchise. I mean, he's still the, even though he's not a central part of the movie, he's still, you know, he really is the star of the film, I guess.
I had to see what was Emilio Estevez up to between movies. And mm-hmm. One of the only ones that actually did anything in between movies, because most of the characters in the movie did not. But he actually didn't do anything a major on air. He had an uncredited role at acting in Mission Impossible, the first Mission Impossible movie. But he mostly did producing. He was the executive producer on The Jerky Boys, the movie. I forgot that was a thing. And yep. He also produced and directed the movie The War at Home. So. There you go. He's actually really busy between movies. our first flashback is the limo scene from the first movie.
Yeah, and that I love that they throw in the flashbacks because it's like, you know, remember the fun we had and let's tie it all together because by the end of it, they've taken everyone, you've seen all the main players and you put them all right in front of you again. Right. So it's like reintroducing you to everybody, but also, you know, remembering the best parts of some of the first films, which the limo scene, of course, is always, you know, one of the ones that you always remember from it because you have a limo sitting on the ice and you have this big shot attorney in there and then all the kids are piling in. That's, you know, it's just classic.
It's an iconic scene from the first movie, which by the
that's
way,
right.
I want to correct you on something you said earlier. I just pulled up my notes from the first season and you were actually on the fourth episode, which was this scene. You were on.
Oh yeah. Yes. I remember that. I remember that. That's actually like out of that movie is so funny. Like I didn't plan that or anything. I didn't pick that scene in particular, but I'm really happy about that because I like, that's really the best one to be in, I think.
Yeah. I just checked my notes. I actually kept all my notes from the first two seasons to get how to reference anything. And yeah, this is actually the scene you were in the first movie. So there you go. Very cool. So, Our next flashback scene is the famous egg shots, which is funny. It's a flashback. And besides, they look so young in these clips. Like, knowing how older they look when we get out of the credits, they look so young.
Yeah, I think that's the neat thing, really, about this whole flashback scene is because you get to see where this all started, and you get to see where they've, you know, how different they look now, now that, you know, these kind of years have gone by. And what's funny about the egg shot scene too, though, is that they actually, you know, a little bit later on in this 5 minutes that we're going to talk about, he references, yeah. He references that, which is funny.
That is really funny, actually. So we have, our next credit, by the way, is Jeremy Nolan, who is actually Coach O'Ryan. And before this, he was in Quid Show, and he was in Love Affair. I don't know what Love Affair is, but I know Quid Show. I did enjoy that movie. So I'm not sure if you know what you guys saw those movies.
Hmm.
So we move on to the reveal of the jersey from the first movie, which I still love Emilio handing this up. Emilio handing up the showing of the jersey is some of my favorite scenes in the first movie.
Yeah.
It's so funny.
And you know, the whole thing with the eggs as well is, it's just one of, you know, it's like a, like, are they really doing this? Is this really a tactic that would be used for hockey? It's just completely all, you know, the Disney-fied version of it, you know? And then, you know, him with the jerseys and all, you know what is really ironic is that I never really understood why they were called the Ducks. And, Duckworth. And it was all because it was Duckworth. And I finally realized that as an adult, but I did not get it as a kid. I just thought that they did it because they, you know, fly together or whatever. Ducks fly together, but I didn't, it was lost on me as a kid. So, so even here in D3, I still didn't know.
But you know, like, and I don't know if anybody else, I don't know that I thought about this on a very, I don't think I gave it much thought, but somewhere in my subconscious, I think I just kind of assumed that, you know, it's Disney and, you know, like Disney has a really prominent Donald Duck character. And so it's like, oh yeah, what can we, let's do something around Ducks, you know, Mighty Ducks. Okay, here we go. That we have our team name. I don't know. I don't know that I gave it a lot of thought, but I know that somewhere in my subconscious, it always made sense to me that this was Disney and that, you know, like, and I don't know. I felt like the, you know, the hockey mask with the, I always felt like it very loosely kind of resembled a Donald Duck, you know, and maybe just the fact that it has a bill. It looks like a duck, but I always thought it was like Donald Duck's hockey mask.
I like that. That's pretty funny. Actually, on the video side, you can actually see the brand new Ducks jerseys for this season. It's actually the brand new Ducks jerseys on the video screen for this coming season. So they brought back the old logo. Which is pretty cool.
Just for this season, or is this like special for this? Okay.
Yeah, they did I think it was called like a retro something. I forgot the exact title, but they went retro and they brought back the old logo for this season.
Nice.
It's actually pretty cool.
The NFL does that, but they do it for like one game and that's it. Yeah. The throwbacks.
When the NHL does third jerseys, it's like half the season. Or like the NBC games or like things like that. So it's pretty cool. So one last credit I wanted to make sure I brought up here, because everyone else is all the kids that will have seen throughout the movie. David Sublet, who plays Dean Buckley, who we'll be seeing a lot in this movie. He's one of those faces that I recognize, but I didn't know why I recognized him, and I still don't know why I recognize him besides this movie. It's one of those weird things. But apparently he was a big TV star at this time. And he did. Mm-hmm. He was in a show called Falcon Crest.
Oh, wow.
And he did 4 through 9 episodes and won a Soap Opera Digest Award.
I remember Falcon Crest, actually. I mean, I never watched it. I had my stepmom watched it a lot, so it's funny. I do remember that, and that's definitely 80s. You know, like that brings back images of the 80s to me. It was a big show at the time. I think like that and like Dallas, I feel like because I think it was like an evening. Yeah, it was a prime time soap opera, much like Dallas was. But yeah, that's interesting.
That's pretty funny. So we continue our flashbacks. We cut back to them cheering them on. I do love watching them in slow motion yelling, which is funny to me. I'm not sure why I'm laughing.
Yeah.
Slow motion yelling. There's nothing else happening here. But it's just obviously Charlie's shot that wins them in the first movie.
Mm-hmm.
So it's weird because they don't really have a lot of flashbacks from the second movie. But
no, they don't. And that it's really just to remind you that there was a second movie because the first movie was really all that mattered.
Yeah.
With all of this.
Exactly.
And you know what? You know, we didn't talk about the what is it? The they have the hockey puck at the beginning that flies up in the you know, isn't that the triple deke? Isn't that what Charlie does? And kind of doing the same same motions as it was to start it off. Yeah. But it's a that's what I noticed first. And I was thinking, oh, I bet that's the triple deke, you know. You so
So while we're doing this, we have the we're getting the speech that's going on at the podium that we don't see yet. Or Coach Clay is saying, it's a great honor to introduce you to a truly great group of kids as they're showing them falling down, tied up for the second movie.
Which,
whoever edited that, brilliant. Absolutely brilliant editing on that point. they can be a little rambunctious, and here's the part where you brought it up. They've run me ragged and played more than their fair share of pranks. And he hasn't forgotten about those eggs that we brought up earlier.
Yeah. 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 You know, and here's an observation just about that though, Blake. And I don't know, like this is, I always hate it when movies have too much going on at the very beginning of the movie. And this is something I almost kind of feel like, I wonder how many people were really paying attention to the dialogue in that part, because you know, here you have like, you have the opening credits, you have the, so you're reading like the cast and stuff like that. You've got the flashbacks going on. So you're kind of like, oh, wow, that's cool. Yeah, I remember that. You know, you have that, you know, nostalgia. And then you have like kind of this dialogue and you don't really know, you know, is the dialogue, I don't know, is the dialogue a flashback from one of the other movies or is this new? Do I need to be really listening to this to understand what's happening in the movie? And when you come out of all of that, you kind of realize like you kind of had this, this kind of mashup of, you know, flashbacks and present day over the credit. I don't know. I just felt like it was a lot going on at one time. And I wonder how many people, like by the time you get out of it and you kind of see, like I it took me a second to just kind of catch up. Like, wait a minute, where are we? Like, what's going on? Like, oh, okay. Like he just got done giving a speech and that all that dialogue I just heard where I was really just like paying attention to all the images on the screen. Maybe I should have been listening to what that was. I don't know. It was just a little weird. I don't know.
Yeah, that's a good point. And I mean, it's a kid movie.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, and I tend to have the attention span of a kid. So.
Well, and you know, you see the kids a lot more in just regular attire and not just in uniform. So, you know, it's just trying to show them doing stuff together. And I'm watching it on the side here and trying to see, you know, you really can't tell because of how grainy, not grainy, but the filter they're using for the flashbacks.
Yeah.
When it starts to get to the scenes from D2, you can't really tell what's going on for the most part. It's hard to remember, you know, what you were seeing besides the Bash Brothers jumping on each other, you know?
Yeah, which is important because everyone loves the Bash Brothers. I do like the fact that they brought back, he just had to bring up the fact that the Quack Attack, the Flying V, and the Bash Brothers. I don't remember anyone calling them the Flying V. I don't even remember everyone referencing the Flying V until the very, very end of the second movie. I don't quite understand why we had this really strange, like, shot of Dwayne just looking weird. And that was a weird flashback that we didn't need. I don't understand that.
Right.
Strange one, but they're all so okay. Now we're at the point where we're trying to explain that they're going to a school,
right?
And someone's got to explain something to me here. I mean, I'm trying to figure this out. This is supposed to be a high school, am I right? supposed to be high school?
I just couldn't tell. Because to be honest, when I was a kid, I didn't know it was the Goodwill Games. I thought it was the Olympics, you know, from D2. I mean, it was very confusing for me as a kid.
Yeah. You know? I'll agree with you, too. And I think, by the time – just the way sequels go, you just kind of assume, okay, this is the third one. Well, okay, they're going to college. You know, did they just get a scholarship to college? And like, did they really do that kind of thing where they give a scholarship to an entire team to say, yeah, okay, you're coming here and you're going to be our team now? But this is it's a prep school. Is what it is. And it's like, oh, and I don't know that they really do a good job. Again, I feel like they just kind of throw you in, and I'm totally not a movie critic at all. Like, I do not critique movies. I like some of my favorite films are films that like people would consider to be terrible movies. But I do feel like that they kind of just throw you into the beginning of this film and you're kind of like, what's going on here? Like, where am I? Like, what's going on? So yeah, it's a prep school, I guess. And for whatever and it's the prep school that Gordon Bombay, I guess, went to. So yeah, they're kind of following in his footsteps.
What's weird about it, though, it's a prep school, but, like, prep schools are they freshmen in high school? Like, is that the whole thing here? Like, I've been trying to figure this out when we're watching this movie. Like, what are they doing here? Like,
I attended public school, so I...
Same here.
Yeah, me too.
From sixth grade on, I was in public school, so I can't really talk either on this one. But you're right, the fact that they got full athletic scholarships as a teen is strange. Like, yeah. Thing. Like, I've seen some weird stuff happen in the hockey world. Like, I'm a big World Juniors person. I love watching the World Juniors. And in the World Juniors, they have Team USA, and most of those players get drafted in the draft. Like, it was a big deal one year when, like, 15 people from that one team got drafted in the first round. Like, it was a very big deal when that happened. Like, it was a massive thing. The fact that an entire team that happens to know each other, that happens to be friends, all got put in the same in the school together, it's weird. I don't understand it.
And then after the bond, I don't know, mate, I don't want to jump too far ahead, but like the bond that they have had, they wait until after this whole big presentation that's going on, this big to, you know, and he's like, well, I guess I should tell them. Exactly. And I'm like, really?
That's
like,
right.
You haven't talked to these guys yet?
That's a whole different thing we'll get to in a second.
I guess I should tell them I'm not going to be in this movie very much.
Yeah, we'll definitely talk about that in a second. The one part, but I love the line, though. He said, I hope these ducks will be happy warriors. I'm not going to lie. When I first saw this movie, I did not realize warrior was the name of the team. I just thought they were using a word to explain, like, their word for hockey players.
To explain their effort.
Yeah, I didn't know that was the name of the team. Happy captions on it. It's capitalized captions.
Thank goodness for closed captions.
Yes. I just want to make a good note. I love everyone's wearing their Ducks jerseys from the championship game, which is like that. But I do love if you look at Charlie, you can see him wearing a nice shirt and a tie underneath the jersey.
Right.
Yeah.
It's very much a high school-esque looking, like, attire for kids who are getting an award, you know, and putting on their jersey on top of that, like a football team going to, you know, accept some kind of legislative decree or something. So,
becoming a Hall of Famer, as my football team did a couple of years ago.
Yeah, and it's like you've got all these people out there watching, like, who announces that they got these full scholarships and they're joining? It just is very odd. I mean, but you kind of just have to take everything with a grain of salt about
it. The only thing I would say is they are Team USA. So
that's
like a ESPN or even like maybe a local station in Minnesota or something making a big deal out of it, because they're all Minnesotans. Most of them are Minnesotans. They're from Minnesota. They're Team USA. So it made a big deal out of them coming to the school. Like, I could see that being a thing, even in the real world. I could totally see that being a thing. But it's just weird that they all got scholarships.
Yeah, seriously.
So I just want to make a note, because the crowd, and for the first time since the first movie, we see Charlie's mom and we see Han. for the first time in the first movie. So we'll get back to them later. But this is the first time we're seeing them since the end of the first movie. So
was Hans not in the locker room of the second at the last game of the second film?
His brother Jan was in the second
movie.
Because his Jan was visiting their mom in Russia.
That's right. The second movie. That's right.
And Jan
started
the store. The Mercy. Fact I remember that shows I spent way too much time on D2 last year.
That's it.
Oh, man. So that's fun, and it's really strange that the Dean decided to give them a big hug at the podium, by the way. That's weird.
Yeah.
Kids, and even the arms around
them. Clamp him on the shoulder. Yeah. It was odd. It was obvious that they think, oh, we'll just have some prestige here by having these kids here.
Yeah, but, it's a photo op for the school weird. At this point. It's a photo op.
Yeah.
So we cut
but to – But he's gonna go tell him. He's going to tell him the bad news.
By the way, I was going to make a note. It's very funny that it looks like Joshua Jackson, soon to be Pacey, is standing in front of a lake.
Oh, yeah. like foreshadowing.
I've seen this visual many, many times on Dawson's Creek.
You could almost hear Paula Cole coming in and the soundtrack.
Yeah. I've told people this in the past, that I'm a massive Dawson's Creek fan. Like, I love that show. So like, I watched every episode, even that crappy fifth season. I watched every single episode of that show.
I cannot wait for you to pick up like your 10th podcast, Blake, and it's the Dawson's Creek Minute.
I want to throw out there a quick plug to Creek of the Week, which is a podcast that did break down Dawson's Creek, and they're great guys and friends of mine. They actually sent me a pin that's in my car. It's actually a guy who won a pin from their show. It's in my car. So Creek of the Week, go listen to their show.
Creek of the Week, cool.
They watched Dawson's Creek in a random order. It was actually really fun how they did it. It was actually really fun how they did it. It was really cool. But anyway, we find out that this is where we find out that Gordon's not going to be coaching them.
Right, and I love how he starts out. He's saying, you know, this is stuffy, but you know, we'll loosen it up, Coach. You know, it's just like we're going to do what we always do: come in and break some eggs. You know, it's just all this. You know, let's keep on doing exactly what we're doing. And it's just interesting to me that they completely break the script and say, well, he's not the coach anymore. He's going to go work for the Junior Goodwill Games. You guys have a different coach.
Yeah.
And I thought that was interesting. Very, you know, and a good, probably a good direction.
Yeah, we're 3 minutes in and we're doing the first plot twist of the movie.
Yeah.
You know what I thought was really interesting, and I don't know, maybe this is poor writing, or maybe it's really good writing, because maybe it kind of shows you the naivete of, you know, of that, of adolescence, you know. But, you know, he tells them that he's like, you know, they've made me, you know, the head coach for the Junior Goodwill Games. And he's like, well, just don't go.
Don't take it.
I'm like, you don't think that maybe this is something he's probably interviewed for? Like, they probably didn't just pick him and say, hey, here you go. I'm sure this is something that he's been actively pursuing. And he's like, yeah, just don't go. And I'm like, well, he probably wants to.
It's actually more, even better than head coach. It's director of player personnel, which is even higher up than head coach.
Like, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's even a bigger job. That's even bigger. Like, it's a huge job opportunity. Like, you'd be stupid to pass this up. You know what I mean? Exactly. Like,
and that's what he tells him. He's like, hey, this is a great opportunity. Like, you know, it'd be, you know, but it's funny. It was just like, and I don't know, maybe it's really good writing. Maybe it's like, cause it really just demonstrates the naivete. And even as he delivers the line, he, you know, he's almost kind of like smiling when he says it, almost like he's like, oh yeah, no problem. Just don't go. It hasn't hit him yet.
Well, remember they are teenagers. And they're teenagers. Yeah. Like, yeah, remember that they look like they're in their 20s and puberty really hit them after the second movie. They're teenagers at the end of the day. So, like, I don't know. It's weird how that works. But, yeah, it's what it is. But you're right. The adolescent attitude, though. You're right. Maybe it is well written. I think it's actually smartly written. I don't know. Think about it. Because that's how anyone would react. Like, no, you're kidding, right? You're kidding. You can't just leave us. You can't do that.
Yeah.
So, and then...
Well, and,
go ahead, Bryce.
Yeah, and then, you know, he's gone, and he just sighs and looks off, and then it's like, okay, well... Now what do we do? We got to find this new coach. So it's a great transition because the first scene you see Eden Hall Academy, and it's just some of the other players just talking about the new coach.
Right.
And
I'll get to that.
Everyone wants to see it.
I want to make one note here. What's funny about this whole thing is that this starts a running gag, running thing in this movie of Charlie throwing hissy fits over nothing. Like, this is like a thing that happens all movie. He just throws hissy fits. Like, for some reason, he's less mature in this movie than he was in the last one, and he's older.
Mm-hmm. So, here's just since you brought that up, since you mentioned that, I just want to again, I'm critiquing a little bit here, but this happened, and this is always a pet peeve of mine, whether it's TV shows or movies or stuff. But when people behave in ways in film that you don't behave in normal real life, and you see this in where how like Charlie just turns and walks away. It's like, I'm done talking, and he just turns and walks away, and like Gordon just stands there. He's like, okay, like, I mean, like, that's not how you end a conversation in real life. You just turn and walk away, you know? Like, that happens a lot with people they just hang up the phone, and I'm like, well, nobody said goodbye or anything, like, like, don't be rude. I mean, come on.
I feel like, though, it's Charlie is playing the typical teenager persona in this movie. I don't know why. Because in the first movie, he wasn't the one. He was the one trying to keep them all together.
Yeah, yeah.
He was barely like, it barely really did much, but he was more of a team player. Here, he's just throwing a hissy fit. Like, it doesn't make any sense for his character at all.
He does, and he just storms off, and it's just like, what do you mean you got a great opportunity? Like, but what about us?
How dare you? How dare you?
Like, yeah, and like, dude, you like, he's done his time. I mean, literally, like, done his time with that team there. And I don't know.
Yeah. So I actually was looking up. I wanted to see if I could find any information on where they came up with Eden Hall Academy thing, and I can't find anything based on what they want to talk about. There's no commentary tracks or anything else on these movies, so like, I can't find any information. But what's funny is somebody put together a fandom page. Disney fandom page for Eden Hall Academy, the fictional prep school in Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Really, huh?
Yeah, it's apparently in the world here. It's a 4-year academy, and it has tuition and scholarships awarded to deserving students. So apparently, the Ducks are deserving students based on this fandom page that somebody typed up watching this movie.
Okay.
I do find it funny that it has listed anemones on here. And it says cafeteria, dormitories, hockey rink and locker rooms, radio station to broadcast sporting events, and stables. Which oh my god. So we cut back here, and we were back at the scene that Bryce was talking about a minute ago, where they're now talking about the new coach, Coach Orion. And we don't really get into more details until next week. But I do like the fact that She says, my dad said, if I don't like him, I can come straight home.
Yeah, right. Who says that? That's and then it's like your first like privilege ideal because you know, the other kids are like, well, we have to stay here on scholarship no matter what. So that must be nice.
Well, I mean, and he even says like you're dumping us here at this school, and I'm like, dude, like, you're gonna get this like prestigious educate. Like, are you not like forward thinking?
Yeah, right.
Exactly. I mean, you'll probably be able to parlay that into a college scholarship. And like, do you know how much money and free education that you're gonna get over the course of your life?
Yeah, because I wish I could get a scholarship like this to a school when I was looking at colleges, especially. Like, I would have loved it. You know?
Like, yeah, you almost kind of want to be like ungrateful, much like.
They were literally gifted a scholarship, like gifted one. Like, playing hockey. Like, come on. You can't ask for better than that.
Yeah, seriously. I mean,
yay. So, that is our 5 minutes. We'll continue on next week with Kurt Hoffman, a good friend of mine who's coming back next week to continue on with our next five. But before we move on, before we move on, I want to say, any other thoughts on the movie, since you guys won't be back? Brian, any other thoughts on this movie? It's the first time you're seeing it.
I'm actually looking forward to the next episode, because I love, it's really funny. I love how the scene starts off, and I'm just gonna leave it at that. I'm just gonna tease it, because there's a pretty funny little quip there between the kids, you know, as they're kind of looking around at the demographics of the school there. It's pretty funny. Yeah. So I'm looking forward to that. I can't wait to hear what you guys have to say about the next 5 minutes.
Fair enough. I'm Brian.
And what now?
Any other words on this movie?
Yeah, so I'm kind of jealous that I don't get to do later in the film when, I guess, I don't want to spoil anything for everyone who hasn't seen the movie from 96, but when Charlie and whatever, when they decide they're going to, you know, just quit school and just go to the Mall of America and ride roller coasters. I'm like, that's me, you know, and I've been to the Mall of America and ridden them.
I was going to say, I've done that, not quit, but I've been to the Mall of America. Have you ridden a coaster, Bryce?
Yes, I have. Yeah, but I had a conference there. I had a conference there two years ago. And there are, I think there are 4 coaster credits there at the theme park, and I did all 4.
Oh, cool.
There's at least 3. There's the one that they ride in the film, and then there's a couple others. Yeah, so,
did they have the Crayola store when you went there?
Yeah, maybe, but it was me and my dad, and we just rode the roller coasters.
Oh, okay.
So we went and ate at Wahlburgers or something. So, nice. Yeah, I mean,
years ago, the family trip. We actually went to Mall America there for a few days. The family trip, me and my wife.
I mean, it's beautiful. I mean, it was in the fall. It was early in the fall, so it wasn't too cold, and it was beautiful up there. And we went to the waterfall up there.
Please tell me you went right to Paisley Park.
No.
That where Prince lived. Oh my gosh.
Oh, sure didn't. No, I didn't drive to Prince's house. No. But we didn't have a car, you know, we had to Uber.
Yeah, we didn't have a car either when we went. We were doing the shuttle from the hotel to get to the mall.
That was my favorite. Yeah. That was my favorite thing about Minnesota.
But yeah, so I'm sad I can't do that. I can't do that one.
What about those minutes is the song Grade 9 by the American Ladies is in those minutes. So Tracy from the American ABCs. It's coming on to talk about those minutes because of that song in the movie.
Yes.
He claimed those minutes 2 minute movies ago. Like, he claimed that 2 movies ago.
I was going to say I should have picked that. My goodness, I missed it. But you know what? Hey, there's nobody better to have on than Tracy for that, for sure.
Yeah. He claimed that literally at the end of the first movie. Like, he said, I want those minutes. So.
I know. I love me some Bare Naked Ladies for sure.
So do I. So, all right. You'll be our first guest and kind of guinea pigs on this question. I'm going to ask every guest on this season for your craziest high school story. If it's the movie we're in, and everyone's got at least one. So, who wants to start, Brian?
So, you know, I had to, you know, I was a pretty boring kid, I think, growing up. But when I think back to my crazy, this isn't high school, this is middle school. So I kind of cheated a little bit on this. And it's one of those, I don't know, I never have a problem embarrassing myself. So I'm going to go ahead and do this here. So I had a friend of mine. I was in middle school, and so this is sixth grade. You know, my high school was like just really, really boring. So sixth grade was pretty adventurous for me. And and I had a friend of mine who got I was in band. We were both in band, you know, and I always thought, like, you know, the band kids, like, I always thought we were the cool kids. When I heard the term,
what do you mean? What do you mean?
Band girl. I dated a girl in the band in high school. No, they're the fun ones.
Let me tell you something. I mean, I was probably 23 before, like, I heard the term band nerd or band geek. And it was my wife. Now, we were dating at the time. Oh. And I forget, you know, somehow, like, she kind of mentioned something about, like, gang, and I'm like, what do you mean band geek? Like, bander, what are you talking about? Like, band kids are the cool kids. Like, and she's like, no, you just thought you guys were the cool kids. And I'm like, no, we were. Like, we used to have a, and I'm getting off topic here, but I'm sorry. We're not on a clock, right?
You're fine.
But like, you know, we had a, they called them Combo, and it was like, you know, and they were kind of like the chosen kids, a band. It was like five kids, you know, like a sax, a trombone, a trumpet, and, you know, just a couple, you know, a clarinet. And they would come out like on Fridays, like, you know, the days that we had football games, and they'd come out like before school started, and they'd like just pick a place somewhere on school campus or on property and kind of just, you know, pepper, you know, just, you know, play and just kind of, it was a great, and I always wanted to be part of the Combo. I was like, man, a Combo, like, those are the cool kids. Like, those are the coolest of the cool, you know? And, but anyway, so I had me and my friend, we were both in band. And so like, I guess we were the band nerds and just didn't know it, but my friend got picked on a lot. And there was a girl bully that was picking on my friend. And I decided to stand up for my friend. Right. You know? And I'm like, hey, don't mess with me. Anyway, you know, as things kind of play out, you know, we get into like this little pushing match, and she pushes me, and I kind of fall down, and this big like swarm of people. If you've ever been in a fight in high school, you know, it's like the people just come out of nowhere, and it's like, whoa! And I'm like, I'm on the ground trying to get up because I lost my balance, and I can't get up because people are all around me, and she's over me, and she's, you know, reaches down like to swing at me or whatever. And I just grabbed her arm and I bit it. I bit the heck out of it. Like, she had to go like to the, like, get an ice pack on it and everything. And, anyway, that was that was my moment of triumph in middle school. And every time I told that story, cause I was so proud of that story, everyone was like, so what, you got in a fight with a girl and you bit her? And I'm like, yeah. I'm like, I wasn't going to let her hit me.
That's like, you know what's funny? Is like, I wrote this question down and I realized I've had my town had a lot of crazy shit happen in my town. Like, a lot of weird shit. Well, actually, I'll throw a middle school story out there because you just let me thought of one. Me and about 15 of us got in school suspension for getting into a food fight in school.
A food fight? Wow.
In our cafeteria. And like, it was hysterical because then we couldn't have lunch at school because they wouldn't let us in the cafeteria for a week. We had to walk to like another place to get food for like a week. And then we all got in trouble for hanging out by the crossing guard too much.
was this like a full blown food fight like what you see in the movies where like a whole cafeteria is in on it?
Oh, it did at the end. By the end, it was.
Yeah. Nice.
It's been one of two food fights I got into in school. One of them was that one, and then I got the one in high school that ended up with a.
Wait! Hang on. You got more than one food fight?
Wow.
In high school, I started. People just messing around. People just messing around. And then all of a sudden, the teacher got hit in the head with loads of pizza. Bryce, go ahead. You.
Yes.
What you got for us?
Okay, so this is embarrassing high school story or a crazy high school story?
Whatever.
I have a couple. I don't know which one I should say. I was in the band. I was also in our show choir. Our show choir in Clinton, Mississippi is the number one show choir in America. It's called Attaché. People will know that we were the best. So in high school, I played in the pit. I played trumpet in the pit. And we would hang out in the band hall while all the singers and dancers were practicing. Well, you know, we all liked play Frisbee. You know, if we're going to have one stereotype, might as well have them all. So we'd play Ultimate Frisbee or whatever. So we'd be in the band hall. Nobody would be in there. It'd be about six or seven of us. And we would take this Frisbee and we would fling it at each other on the other side. And if it hit the wall, you got a point. Y'all see the game, right? Okay, we made this up. So it was a cheap plastic Frisbee. We started flinging it and it would break. So we'd just take some duct tape from the drummers that use the mallets and we'd wrap them up and we'd just keep on flinging it. Well, this thing broke so many times and we put so much duct tape on it, it was like a solid discus, okay? And one night during the summer, we were playing that while, you know, we were practicing for the musical that we did during the summer. And I had to leave. I came back in and I heard the whole thing secondhand. So I'm telling the secondhand, like I wasn't in there, so that I'm not incriminated. But essentially what happened is they flung it. And when they flung it, it went straight up into the ceiling, right at where one of the intercoms was. And the intercom fell out of the ceiling and smashed into three pieces onto the floor. They took said intercom, tried to put it up into the ceiling again, and it broke more. So they took the intercom, took some scissors, cut the cords, found, hold on, went into one of the storage rooms, found an extra tile, put it up where the intercom was so it blended in, took the intercom and stuck it on top of the wall in the ceiling. And it sat there for a year. And every time the intercom would come on in the band hall, it would go, because you could, because there were four intercoms, but one of them was gone. So there were only three. And there would be times where we would walk in and we would see people looking up and they would go, there's one, two, three. There's not one in this corner. Why is there not one in this corner? And we would just duck our heads and whatever. But it stayed up there for a year until we disposed of it.
Oh, I was going to say, like, who found it? Because it'd be cool if it was, like, you know, all these years and it's still
we
there.
We should have just left it there. What were we doing? But we just took it and threw it away.
Like a time capsule or something.
Yeah, right.
Come back in, like, 30 years and be like,
it's gone. It's fine.
You could have signed the tile.
That is funny. Wow.
That's great. I like that. That was really good. I did that. That was... Well, I hope people have fun ones like that. That was good. All right, let's get to plugs and we can get out of here. Although, if you're watching on the picture or the video side, I am wearing the brand new DeFi the Mighty Duck t-shirt.
I like it. I like it.
And the cool part is, if you get it on, especially on the gray, you get the ice particles from the logo on the shirt. It actually looks really, really cool than I thought it was going to when I got it. But it came out fantastic. So you can get that at T Public. Right now, I'll put the link up at the bottom so people can pick this shirt up because it's a really cool shirt. So let's go around. Bryce, anything you need to plug right now?
Oh, no. I just thank you for letting me be on. And I'm a frequent contributor to All About the Mouse. Also contribute to Mouse House Weekly, which is another Disney podcast if you want to check that out. And other than that, I'm just a regular old Mississippi guy that doesn't know how to skate.
Fair enough. Brian, I'll go to you. It's your show, so plug away.
Well, you know, I'm a regular old Florida guy who knows how to skate a little bit, actually. I know how to do a little bit of ice skating. I'm not very good, but my claim to fame is that I can at least skate away from the wall, like out into the middle of the rink, and I can make it back to the wall without falling down. So I feel like for a Southerner, I'm doing okay with ice skating. I actually did some ice skating on my vacation around New Year's, actually. So So that was very cool. It was so awesome. I did it on like real ice, like not this like where you go to like a, you know, we have a ice skating rink here in Jacksonville where like it's, you know, it's, I mean, I guess it's real ice, but it's in a facility. This was actually like out in a park where they had come out with the hose out in Wyoming and sprayed water like on the ground or whatever, and it had frozen, and I like it was pretty cool. But anyway, I'm a Floridian, a big huge Disney fan. Of course, I host the All About the Mouse Disney podcast, and Blake, you and Bryce, you guys, I'm honored and really excited to be able to call you guys friends, and you know, not only frequent contributors of the show, which you are, you guys are on the show from time to time. You guys are together, we are like 3/4 of the Disney predictions panel. And we have an amazing track record of predicting what's going to happen at the beginning of the year, throughout the rest of the year in the Disney company. I didn't say it was an amazingly accurate track record, but it's an amazing track record. It really is.
Credit for staying a straight face on that one.
But anyway, you guys join me every year for that, as well as other different topics throughout the year. And so, you guys are not only contributors, but also just really good friends of mine. And so, this is always fun. But if you want to hear more of Blake and Bryce and myself, you can check out the All About the Mouse Disney podcast. You can go to the website, which is All About the Mouse Central com, or you can just go to, you know, your iTunes or, you know, Stitcher or Podcast Addict or wherever you get your podcast from, and just do a search for All About the Mouse. And we're a little over 600 episodes. And if you want to hear a ridiculously long podcast, and you have to check out we do this every year. I do it with my good friend from the Window to the Magic podcast, Paul Berry, but we do what we call an ear in review, where we look back at all the things that happened throughout the Disney company. So we did this for 2020. Everyone thought this was going to be the shortest ear in review ever, because it's like, well, the parks were closed down for like, you know, 9 months, and like, what happened? But no, we talked for like 4.5 hours. So we don't
go to the shorter one. I think it is one of the shorter ones.
We don't. My podcast is usually not anywhere near that long. But with the ear in review, we definitely we've gotten feedback. People like the ear in review shows that are like epic length. So we do that like one time a year. We kind of get away with that, and we sit down and we cover everything, and we don't limit ourselves. But anyway, I thank you for having me on here, Blake. I really appreciate it. And if you guys want to check out All About the Mouse, I would definitely be much appreciating. Thank you.
Problem. And people listening, Defy the Mighty Ducks, you can find us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. I post a lot on Instagram. I'm big on Instagram, so go over there. And I'm going to plug a new place you can find us, because I grew up in a lot more places than we were last season. So you can go to Spotify and listen to the show over on Spotify. So there you go.
Awesome.
Listen to Defy the Mighty Ducks. Also, listen to the Blake and Sal Show every single Friday. Normal circumstances, when the first show goes up, I say, it's WrestleMania weekend. Go listen to WrestleMania coverage. Unfortunately, we're in a pandemic, and I have no idea what WrestleMania is this year. So I can't even say that this time. So just go listen to the Blake and Sal Show and go find out what we're talking about, because at this point, I have no idea what's going on. So that's every single Friday, right after this show. This show goes up early on Friday. We go up later in the morning. So Blake and Sal Show, BlakeandSalShow.com. All right. Let's get out of here. Thank you, gentlemen. This was a lot of fun. And as I was telling Bryce earlier, I don't know how long the show is going to be, because it all depends on how much we talk. And now I'm going to have to tell the Bat Minute guys later on that this show went over an hour and see if they can beat it. So that's usually the longest show is when we have Niall McGowan on. So we'll see what happens.
See. Well, thanks. Thanks for letting us be on, Blake. It's been a pleasure. And all luck to you for this season.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you very much, Brian and Bryce. And thank you all for listening to the show. And we'll see you all next week. Have a good day, everybody.
And when everyone says it can't be done, ducks fly together.